Do you want to just quickly go over what we covered yesterday?
Okay.
Just in a few words.
Okay, we're in Masechet Sanhedrin, Yudchet Amud Bet.
That's 18b.
So we learned yesterday that the Lo Melech V'Lo Kohen Gadol V'Boshana, right? Neither the king or the Kohen Gadol is allowed to sit on the Sanhedrin when they're discussing the issue of whether or not to extend the year. Why not? Because each one has a potential bias. Whether or not in practice they would actually be biased, is they are Sadiqim, they're not going to worry about the fact that the floor was cold. Right? But we're being told that because there is a potential for the person to be biased, you're not allowed to be biased and be a judge on something which is relative to your own interest. So the king and the Kohen Gadol both have an interest in extending the year, in what or not, right, or not, in the case of the Kohen Gadol. The king wants to extend the year, in theory. He might have a desire to extend the year, because he has to pay less wages. He pays a fixed amount for a year, whether it's 12 months or 13 months. So much better that he gets 13 months out of the soldiers rather than 12 months. So it makes sense. Who?
The king.
I'm saying he doesn't. He could. The fact that he does, he could have an interest, right? You're not allowed to be a witness. You're not allowed to be a judge if you've got a potential interest. Like if your brother is on trial. No, I'm a tzaddik. I'm going to judge it fairly. But I've got a potential interest. Could be that I might have an issue. So because of the potential, we don't want to have any question that anyone is being biased. So the king, who has a potential bias, even though it's relatively small, I don't know how big your bias, paying money. Well, paying money is usually a big bias, actually, for most people. But, right? So because of that, he can't be on the panel for Sanhedrin. Same is true with the Kohen Gadol.
Because
the people shouldn't think.
Let's say the king has it won.
Right.
So, okay. But he's not interested in it. 12 months of it. People can see.
And people might think that he did it. Very good. So we don't want people to have any question of the leaders.
Would it be classified under Marzain?
Explain.
That even though theoretically he yeah, given he's a tzaddik, but theoretically, given he could have a possible conflict of interest, it may be considered to be a Mar Zion.
It could look bad, right? It could look bad. It could Marat Ayin. It would look bad. It could look. People could think wrongly of him, even though it wasn't true, right?
I mean, he shouldn't have. But someone in his place shouldn't have to explain why the king did something.
But also, we don't put temptation in a person's way either. So even though he might be a tzaddik, when we were told on Moshe and Aaron that even Moshe and Aaron were not can't remember the exact teaching, but even a pruta would be too much for them to be judges. Moshe and Aaron weren't allowed to be a judge on anything that they had an interest in, or they couldn't accept a bribe of even a pruta.
Not only that, but their garments had to be special, so it didn't have a hem.
Right, so they weren't, so they're beyond suspect. So we see that the Torah puts in all of these fences to make sure, from which head respect, either from the respect of what people think, or from the fact that we don't want to put temptation in a person's way, right? Yeah. So we don't want people to think badly. We saw in last week's parasha. Miriam and Aaron thought about Moshe, right? That they thought, well, what's going on there with Moshe, right? That
and Miriam was his sister, so she had a right to be concerned because she was his sister.
So we don't want them to suspect. So we don't want people to suspect the king or the Kohen Gadol. So we prevent them from being on the panel extending the year because they both have a potential bias. The Kohen Gadol, his bias is that he doesn't want the year to be extended. Why not? Because he's worried, he's thinking ahead that when he gets to do the service on Yom Kippur, that he has to go in the mikveh and it's a cold floor, and either the mikveh's cold or the floor's cold, because it's going to be already pushed off. a month later in towards winter. Right, so he's going to be, you know what, if given a, let's keep it without extending the year. So he might have a bias.
He has a very good bias, because if he's not doing full concentration when he's walking in the Holy of Holies, Kadosh Kadoshim, to do the service.
So maybe he wants the floor to be cold to keep him awake. Also, he has to stay up all night.
Yeah.
Right, so he might, maybe it's good for him to keep him awake, but okay,
he has to do full concentration, or else he's not going to walk out.
Yeah, he's not going for a swim.
At times.
So, okay, very good. So, we're up to Amar Rav Papa. So, yes, so we finished yesterday by saying the following. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said, Shma Mina, can learn from here. Shata Bata Yacha Azil, that the year goes after the months. We learn from here that the year follows the months, meaning the seasons don't change just because you extend the year. Whatever would have been will continue. Right? The cold of Ma'ar Cheshvan that comes after Tishri will still be in its correct time, which means that Tishri will now be cold. Right? Just because Tishri is being moved forward, it doesn't mean that the normal Tishri weather will also be moved forward. Right? The months get moved forward, but the seasons stay in their same place. So that's what Rav Papa says. You can learn from what we just saw about the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol was concerned about the weather, meaning he knew that if the month was later, it was going to be colder. Therefore, you see that the weather stays how it would have been, and the months just get moved forward. But the Gemara challenges and says, Amy, wait a minute, is that true? We've potentially learned something different than that. Why? Baha Hanach Shalosh Ro'ei Bakar Dahavu Kainei. There were these three shepherds who were standing, they were discussing something. V'shamainu Rabbanan Dekamrei, and the rabbis heard them speaking. Chadama, one of them said, Im Bakir V'lakish Kachada Yenes. One said, if the early crop and the late crop, they sprout at the same time, right? The early crop is wheat and the late crop is barley. Wheat flowers earlier than barley. But if it happens that after you planted them, you see that they're sprouting at the same time, Dein hu Adar, you should know that it is Adar. Right, they're trying to all good farmers have decide stuff by looking at the field. When you see that the ground is wet, you know that it's whatever. When you see the birds flying that way, it means they all have stuff. Right? They know stuff. They're signs. So one of their signs is if you see that these two crops grow together, right? Reuben sees that the geranium and the roses, they flower together, then you know that the watering is not right. Right, you have your own sheet up, I'm sure.
So actually, they've done a study, and they found out that the Farmer's Almanac, which has been published for the last, 200 years or something like that, is far more accurate when it comes to long-term weather than your local weatherman, with all his fancy computers and satellites.
Sure, I don't doubt that for a minute. Okay, so what's he saying? So one of them is saying, when you see that the wheat and the barley, they sprout at the same time, you should know that this is Adar, that we're in Adar. It can only be Adar that happens. V'imlam late day Adar, and if it's not, if they didn't sprout at the same time, it's not Adar. Right? Here it says it would be Shvat. Right? What does he mean? He means that the weather is really the Adar weather. So even though you changed the months, you moved it forward by putting in an additional month in this year, it's actually really the weather of Adar right now. Right? Even though it says Shvat on the calendar, it's actually Adar weather.
Days later,
today it's all messed up, so it doesn't apply. V'chadamau, okay, so that's what one of them said. So, chadamau, another one of them said, im tor bet safar bet lag yamut, if the ox dies from the cold in the morning, right, so cold in the morning that your ox dies. Here it says it almost dies, but Tov, if he that's the plain meaning of the word, if the ox is so cold in the morning that the ox dies, but it doesn't necessarily mean for sure he died, it just means it's very cold in the morning.
He doesn't want to move.
Right, he doesn't want to get out of bed, right, it's too cold. Uba tihala batul te'ena yidmoch yishlach mashke. But in the afternoon, he sleeps in the shade of a fig tree, right, to get out of the sun, and rubs himself against it, right, because he's so hot. Right, so you see, if it's a case that in the morning it's so cold that he nearly dies, but in the afternoon he's got to sit in the shade because it's so hot. Right, learn from that. Dein hu adar, that's adar. That only happens in adar. Ve'im lav leit dein adar. And if not, it's not adar. Okay? V'chadama, the third one said, im kidum takif l'chada yehe, if the kidum, the east wind, is takif, is very strong, l'chada, very strong, yifach b'loach nafik l'kible, when your cheeks blow, the breath goes out against it. What does that mean? The colder the, so that even when a strong wind with the cold air that's brought in its wake can be worn by a person's breath. Right, I think it means that you see the breath when you blow out. You know when you when it's cold morning, you blow and you see the steam coming out of your mouth? So I think he's talking about that. There's an east wind, a strong east wind, but when you blow, you still see the breath coming out. Dein hu adar, you should know it's adar. Ve'im lav leilet ben adar. And if not, then you should know it's not a dar. So what they're all talking about, how to tell whether it's really a dar or Shabbat. Right? How to tell which month the season really is. I know it says Shabbat on the calendar, but as we know, why does it matter? What are they trying to work out? Because we know that the years move anyway, like 11 days every year, the whole year's moving. So at some point it catches up. Right? After a few years of putting in extra months, you catch up back to the right place.
No, you got it reverse. After not adding months, it advances the whole month, and you have to add a month.
Now, hold on. But at some point, at some point you're ahead until it catches up. You're adding in the months. Or you're not yet reached there.
You're not reached
that.
You haven't reached
that.
You have to add in a month.
And add in some more. Okay, so at some point.
But this goes back to Gemara Brachos, where they determine when you have to do it.
Nahon.
And this is also because they had to do it in Shvat, or before Shvat at the earliest, the previous Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
But because they can't add it in Adar, because there'd be confusion.
Why? It'd be too late.
Because, was the king who did it and he made a mistake?
Hizkiyo.
And we covered him in Brachos.
Hizkiyo. But he was in here.
And he had to do tshuva.
Yes. Yeah, there's a question about why he did tshuva. No, but what we're saying, why were they trying to work out whether it's Adat or Shva now? Why do they care? It says Shva or it says Adat. And who cares whether I know it's really Adar or really Shvat? What's the point?
Because if you're going to add a month, you have to add it then.
No, but these are the farmers. The farmers aren't discussing adding months in.
When they start planting.
The farmers are not involved in the discussions as to whether or not to extend the year. The farmers are just having a chat. So what's going on? So the farmers are all understanding where about in that cycle we are. Because we're playing catch-up. Right, to try and get back to the whole cycle, the year moves 11 days, but the month is 30. So you're either more or less until you actually get to a year when you actually bang on the money. Right?
For example, this year.
It depends when it was meant to end. We don't know when the 11th, when the solstice and when the actual correct day. We're keeping the calendar is keeping in tandem by going by moving forward, moving back, moving forward, moving back. Right? Each year we're either a little bit more, or a little bit less, but we're keeping within
a 30-day
within
period.
Parameters. Right? But because we're not exact, we've only got those two parameters to play with, either 30 plus or 11 less, or 11 less or 30 plus, whatever, right? They're the choices. So you never actually know where we're really holding. Is it really Shabbat or really Adar? And from our point of view, you and me, it doesn't matter. Who cares? Next year will be different. Each year will be, but for a farmer's point of view, he has to know where exactly the crops are going. It doesn't matter to me what it says on the calendar. I need to know whether or not this is really Adar, because I need to plant now. So they actually need to know what the real underlying month is. Forget this moving forward and backwards to keep us in check. What's actually the, because the plants and the seasons and the crops go. They're going on their own. They're going on their own on the real months.
So the
Chachamim are just trying to keep the Chagim in order, right? So we're moving like this, forward and back, to keep make sure we're still in the right place. But the farmer wants to know what is the real month here? Is it really Shabbat, like it says on the calendar, or is it really Adar? They're the two options, because we're only in one of those. So these have three different ways of knowing where actually we really are in the year, in the seasons of the year.
It's Shabbat. It's time to plant trees.
Right.
When it's too long, they don't plant.
Right.
The other thing we're forgetting about is also the rainy season and dry season.
Right. Could also start according
to, because if you plant too late, you'll be missing out on the water.
Right. So that could also be a reason why you need to.
Early, the ground will be too hard and too cold.
Right.
And also, you have a possibility of losing your seeds from the heavy rains,
right,
if you have a late rain.
Right. And if you're a farmer, I mean, Reuven knows that even in our day, in terms of the time to plant, but if you're a farmer there where they were a lot more, right, so they know that you've got like a week. If you don't do it this week and you do it next week, you're gonna ruin the crop. Right, a week's difference, and here we're talking a lot more than a week's difference. It could be 2 or 3 weeks difference that they just move the whole thing out. So
it's the same with harvest. When you harvest,
right,
you need a week where there's no rain, nothing. Because when you cut in, you have to dry,
so
you get wet.
Fair. Okay, so we see from here. So that was the story. So that was just what happened. The three farmers are talking about it. And then the Gemara says, the Ibru Rabbanan Lahishata. And the rabbis who were listening, right, we said that the rabbis were listening to this discussion. So the rabbis extended the year. Why? Because they understood that, it says in here, that the weather was more representative of Shvat than Adar. And therefore they added in another month in order to move the year to really back according to the proper agricultural calendar, right? As if that was their intention. So thus we see that the weather patterns of elite year assumed to follow the months are not. I see, I don't understand that. I understand. I came out with the exact opposite conclusion. Let's just read this. The Gemara seems to understand it only because of that. No adjustment. No.
That's interesting. Because for them, always the Pesach have to be in the spring.
Yeah.
So for them, the God of the spring is warm and cold.
The spring is what?
Cold or the hot.
Okay.
Spring.
Okay. So.
But for the person, it has to be. Things where they're more important. It's
right.
More the cold.
Right.
But for the rabbi, it used to be the reason for it always is spring.
Right. But the rabbis have a discretion in which year to do it. So they know that within, let's say, every 11 years you need to do it four times, is that it? So within 11 years you need to do it four times. So I can decide, well, should we do it this year or should we do it next year, right? So as long as we do it four times in 11 years, it don't really matter when, just to bring it back. So.
But if I remember Gemara Brachos, it also says that they have to rely on the other science where the equinoxes and the what was the other term?
Solstice. Yeah.
Where it has to match within a certain. If it hasn't occurred within, if the solstice hasn't occurred within a certain period of time, you have to add a month in. The case in point is this year when Hanukkah was at Thanksgiving in November. It was very early.
Okay. Right. That's
why they added in a leap year.
Nachon. So then next year would be later, back to the
yeah.
month later. Right. So next year would be a month later in the end of December, which is where it normally is. Right. Okay. So, but what are we trying to learn here? That the problem, the difficulty I'm having now is what is the proof that the Gemara is trying to learn out from here. Right. Remember the reason why the Gemara brought this was to challenge. Something to challenge what we said earlier. We said earlier that the fact that the Kohen Gadol was worried about the cold floor shows that when you extend the year, the seasons stay the same, and the seasons continue to be what they would have been, and the seasons don't move, right? So that's what we said. And then Gemara says, but I can challenge that by bringing you this story of the three shepherds. The three shepherds, right? Different story about three shepherds, right? But it seems to me the conclusion of this story is that you see that the seasons stay in their same place regardless of what's happening with the year. Even though you're moving the year, the seasons are staying the same, which is the same thing, from my point of view, because I don't understand it, as the Kohen Gadol. We're learning the same lesson. This is meant to be a challenge to that.
Let's see. Heshvan is very early. So, usually Heshvan is the time for rain.
Okay.
So, Hashem, the Rahamin calculated, say, no. Heshvan is very early, so usually after you go to rain and to come.
Yeah.
So Hashem listens to Rahamim, or do you go to the
No, so he's saying that. So he's saying it goes by the nature. Even though Heshvan was early, the rain is still going to come much later because it's.
But we pray. So with our prayers, we can force the rain.
Uh-huh.
Because
uh-huh.
differently, let's say, outside the nature.
Uh-huh. You're right.
Hashem listens to
Rahamim. Right, but here his proof. His proof is going on the fact that the Kohen Gadol was worried it was going to be cold later. So you see from there that the heat and the cold, at least, maybe the rain is different because the rain is related to prayer there. Heat and cold, we don't really pray for heat and cold weather. It just happens kind of. So the heat and the cold follows the normal pattern. That stays the same. So here he wants to show by this story we see that that's not true. The heat and the cold don't follow. The heat and the cold move when you change the month. That should be what this challenge is. The first challenge says the heat and the cold stay the same. I'm going to challenge it. How am I going to challenge it? It must be by saying the opposite. That the heat and the cold, you see from here, the heat and the cold move when you move the month.
Yeah.
That's what we should be learning now from this section about the shepherds in order to have a valid kasha. That's how it's set up.
They not move together.
Which?
The shepherds.
So that was my understanding. Yeah. So that's why I've got a problem with the Gemara. That's why I don't understand. Because the Gemara should be my the Gemara should now be telling me an example where that's not the case, where you see that it moves. According to this footnote 28, which is not so clear, but according to footnote 28, that's exactly what the Gemara is saying here. The Gemara over here is showing you that the heat and the cold does move, and it's only here, it's in the first few lines here. The Gemara assumes that the rabbis extended the year only because of the factors mentioned by the herdsman, meaning the weather. That as far as the seasons, no adjustment was necessary. So here he's saying a difference. He's trying to make a chiluk. He's trying to say a chiluk is a difference between the weather and the seasons. Right? Like maybe we were just saying there, that the hot and the seasons stay the same, but the weather is changeable.
It's pushing it.
Yeah,
I would completely ignore the footnote.
Yeah. Tom, we can't completely ignore the footnote because the footnote was written by rabbis who are far more advanced in their Torah learning and their understanding than we are. So if they said it, it's definitely because we don't understand what we're saying, and we're in error, not them.
I'm just going by experience from living here. And what I realize is that there are far more variables that we're even concerned about. For example, we've been in a drought.
Okay.
And, Hashem controls the weather.
Yeah, fair enough. But you're right, but you could say that's not the answer here. The Gemara is not going on. Hashem controls the weather really goes with the opinion that Hashem follows what the Chachamim. If the Chachamim say we move the months, then Hashem says fine, let's move the weather, which is according to this second example now in the Gemara. Apparently, that's what he's saying, that the weather moves. Hashem moves the weather, but the seasons stay the same. I don't know what the difference is between the seasons and the weather. For me, that's too much of a. If you don't say that the weather follows the season, then what's the season? Seasons is only a season because of the weather. There's no other definition of what that season is.
We only have basically two seasons, wet and dry.
Yofi, but in those times, they had more. Like, in terms of what we're trying to talk about here, there was.
Because they're trying to determine when to plant.
Yeah, my best understanding of this is that this is one perush, and there's probably other perushim that might explain it a bit differently, or might be easier for me anyway to understand. But let's just stick with it, because our brains are fairly limited at the moment.
Okay, let's go back to the classic. What does Rashi say?
Good question, let's look.
In terms of the season, for me, there's only two seasons. Rain and summer.
Okay, what's Rorabana? Asahu Kishvat. I'm reading the Rashi two lines down from the middle thick lines of Rashi, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines up from the very bottom of Rashi. But Rorabanan, and Rabbanan extended the year. Basuhu Kishvat. They made it like Shvat. They made it like Shvat. And, hold on. So Shvat comes before Adar. So they extended the year by adding in a new month. Another Adar to make it like Shvat.
Yeah, like the first Adar.
The first Adar would be
called
like Shvat.
Adar, but it's like Shvat.
Okay, Yopi, good. Okay, they made it like Shvat. The Kavu, Adar, Hasheni, Acharav, and they made it, right, yeah, they fixed the second Adar Hasheni, Acharav after it. Alma, Shatabata, Ibura. However, the year follows the extension, Azil, it goes after. Bala, Nehega, Chom, and it wasn't hot, the Nisan, the heat of Nisan, but Adar, Ella, Minhag, Adar, Adar Hasheni. So he said, I don't know where Rashi learns this from, but Rashi says exactly what we want to learn out. You see from here that the heat of Nisan didn't appear in Adar. Right, Adar Sheni, which was really Nisan, but we didn't have the heat of Nisan, right? Rather, it was the behavior of the weather was like Adar in Adar Sheni. You see from here that it stayed the same. I am where I see where you saw that from
here. That's my point. I think
Rashi sees that in here, though we don't see that.
Right.
That's not what he explains here. It's much clearer in Rashi. Rashi says specifically
that's why
that the seasons didn't move.
That's why
that's that right.
That's why I would say go to Rashi. Okay.
Very good.
In this sense, very difficult to see two seasons. You see only two seasons. You see summer and rain.
Nahon, but for them they saw spring. They saw winter, spring, because that's important for.
In Germany, there was, summer, it was hot.
Yeah.
And then come the autumn, it's then the winter, and then the spring. You see it.
Right.
Uh-huh. It's very difficult to see. One day the rain stops, the sun is coming.
Right.
You can see it's spring.
Okay, but there's that period of time where it's not so hot. Where it's changed up, the spring. Okay, not so much. Okay, so what he's saying is, so he says, actually says that we can see from here that the rabbis extended the year to add in a new year, to make it Adar like Shvat, and so that the farmers would have an extra month, I guess, in order to for the crops to grow. So you see from here that they pushed off the weather. If they were doing it for the farmers, they did it to give them an extra month that they needed, but they didn't have this year. Right, stuff on that as well. So the Gemara is saying now, so you can see from here that the rabbis extended the year for the farmers, so that must mean that there was a point. If you extend it for the farmers, it was worthwhile to do it, because otherwise there's no point. If you're not going to change the season, it's not going to help them. I'm going to change the calendar, and instead of saying Adar, I'm going to say Shvat, I'm going to say Adar Sheni. Well, how's that going to help me?
Oh,
you just changed the name on the month. But what they're saying is, by doing that, they actually changed the weather and the growth of the plants. So that help the farmers.
But not only that, but it's either in Gemara Brachas or Sanhedrin, where it said they were concerned about the Omer offering. The barley had to have a certain amount of time to sprout and grow.
Yeah, but that's different. That's different. That's just giving yourself more time before Pesach comes along. But it's not changing the seasons.
Right, but they need that time.
Nahon, but here that's not the argument. Here we're saying the argument is, the reason why the rabbis put in a new month is in order to allow the crops to grow more, meaning they changed the weather by doing that. They added in another 30 days of Shvat. They didn't just change the name on the top of the calendar from Adar to Shvat, that the weather just carried on like it would have done the rest of the year. No, when we did that, we changed the weather, so you got another load of weather, just like that Shvat weather. You got another Shvat weather before we had Adar. Right? You got another Adar Rishon instead of Sheni. Because we were saying originally, it just continues. The weather continues like normal. Right? That was the original. Right? That's why the Kohen Gadol was worried, because the weather's just going to continue, whatever you do. Right? But here we're saying, no, the weather's not going to continue. Because we changed it for the farmers, it shows that, because otherwise there wouldn't be any point. The farmers will be sitting there moaning, I can't believe it's really Adar, it's not Shvat. It's not going to make any difference if I change I'll give you an extra Adar. Who cares if you give me an extra Adar? The weather's going to carry on normally. I've already planted. So I'm not going to make any difference. Do what you like to the calendar. Call it what you like. Call it Shvat, call it Adar, call it Trishri, call it whatever you want. It's not going to make a difference to the growth of the crop now once it's planted. But we're saying, no, because I added in the month, I'm going to give you an extra month full of spring weather. I'm going to give you an extra month of spring that you didn't have before. So that is a kasha. So now we've got a valid kasha. We can see that according to this second understanding, when the rabbis changed the month, they actually created an extra month of spring. And the seasons didn't just continue like normal, like you'd expect. So that's the kasher that we now set up.
So Shvat is basically a transition between the cold winter, where you still would have frost and maybe snow on the ground.
Depends when they're planted. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know when they're planted. It might be spring, and they might be planting in Shvat. I don't know.
Right.
Right, but it's... You
can't plant when you have frost on the ground. Or can you?
Yeah, well, but they needed... The issue was that they needed another month.
Right.
They needed another month of spring.
Sometimes plants like frost.
Something, yeah.
It's different plants. So it's not so...
Yeah,
like in other countries, yeah.
Not so common.
It's very good because we need rain. So when you plant something, they need in the beginning a lot of water. So it's good to... Most times you plant before you plant in pieces.
Okay, yeah. So that's the kasher, right? That's the question that the Gemara asks. So just to refresh what the question is before we answer it, the question is, so do the seasons move when the rabbis add in an extra month, or does everything just continue like normal? So we've got two different situations, two different stories which seem to contradict. First one says that the weather just continues like normal. That's why the Kohen Gadol was worried. The second one seems to indicate that the rabbis wanted to help the farmers by giving them an extra month in the spring, so that implies that by changing the months, they actually would change the weather pattern. They would give them an extra month for the spring. So the Gemara answers like this: V'tisvara Rabbanan Aravata Samoch. Do you think that the rabbis were relying on the shepherds, on the herdsmen? Ela Rabbanan Achushpanei Samoch. Were they relying on their own calculations? What's he saying? He's saying that don't think that the rabbis extended the year here because of the farmers. They weren't extending the year in order to give the farmers an extra month of spring. That's not what was going on. You're right, they overheard the farmers complaining, but they actually extended the year based on their own calculations. Meaning they looked at the calculation and thought, it's correct here, we need to extend the year, and they did it anyway. And they weren't paying attention, they weren't relying on the fact or thinking that this is going to change the seasons. They noted that the farmers were moaning that it wasn't, that they needed an extra month. So right, for next year, it will be back in line, right? So we noted that that's what was going on, but we weren't doing it in order to try and help you, because we can't help you. It's not going to help you if I change the season now. You already planted. Weather's going to happen. It's going to happen anyway. So I can't change the weather. Can't change the sea. I can't do nothing. Right? But I understand you realize that the year's early or late. It's already too late. Right? So that makes me understand that on my own calculation, we should add in another year. Another month. We should add in another month. Right? Because that's a good sign that we're already out of kilter.
But they already know that because the solstice.
No, what he says here, that's what the Gemara said, that they relied on their own calculations. They listened to the farmers. You know what? The farmers are also saying we're out of whack. And through our calculation, you know what? They're right. Let's put in a new month.
But weren't there four variables that they considered?
There were lots of different variables.
As I'm trying to remember the Gemara. And one of it was snow on the ground. One of it was the solstice or the... equinox, can't remember which, and okay, my brain's fried.
The mending the road.
You mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not for this year, but in the future.
Uh-huh. You
put it in,
yes, it will. Right. It will bring the months back into line.
Yeah.
Right, but it won't change. Won't change the season for this year. Right.
Like the solar, it's always solar.
Uh-huh.
So the moon.
Right.
Mercedes always in the spring, Adar, Nisan. So the Nisan start, the spring start Nisan, right?
Yeah.
Nisan. 3 months or 2 months?
Yeah, is there that Mazgan coming up? Yeah.
Yes.
No, I can feel it next to the door.
Yeah. You put your hand up to the seat? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
coming through the wall.
Yeah, you know that
just
close. Oh, yeah?
It's been acting like a fan, it's drawing an air. It'll just be the flow from the window that's coming in. Shekhinah is calling us. Okay, Yofi. Tov. V'ro'e baka isayoi hu disayeya miltayu. And the shepherds, they're merely confirming their decision. Right, what the shepherds were saying was merely just agreeing. They were agreeing with the shepherds. You know what? You're right. We agree with you, but we're not doing it for you. We're not helping the shepherds because we can't help you. Right? Well, the weather will be the weather. So don't think that. So it's not a correct understanding, right? The Havamina, the Gemara, the understanding of the Gemara is that from that story you see that the rabbis were trying to help the shepherds by giving them an extra month of spring. Actually, that's not what was going on. It's not the correct explanation. The correct explanation is they were going to extend the year anyway, and the fact that the farmers were also happy about it. It's just a confirmation. Okay.
Well, the shepherds can still graze when there's snow outside.
It's interesting. Here they talk about shepherds as opposed to farmers particularly, but...
Because my wife did a cartoon about that. The Palestinian cooking channel.
Sounds interesting. Tough. Okay. Let's do a bit more. Okay, two dots. Choletz v'choltzin. Right? We said about the Kohen Gadol that he can do chalitza, and chalitza may be performed against him. Right? Meaning what? A chalitza where his brother, the brother of the Kohen Gadol, dies, let's say the older brother of the Kohen Gadol dies, and his wife is childless. It doesn't have to be older, right? It could be younger. It could be any brother. He's the oldest brother. Let's say he's the oldest brother, remaining brother, because usually go to the oldest one. Right? So, question is, what does he do? So, we're told in the rest of the mission, he's not allowed to do yibum, right? He's not allowed to marry her because she's a divorcee or whatever. We're going to see that now. But
no, she's a widow.
She's a widow, right? He's not right. Kohen Gadol can't marry a widow. So. But he...
Whereas a regular Kohen can.
But he can do... Well, the Gemara... I'm not going to go into it really because the Gemara is now going to discuss that whole topic in detail about whether or not he actually can marry her, why he can't marry her and stuff like that. So that's what the Gemara is going to... That's what the Gemara is going to say now. So here the introduction is that he can perform chalitza, right? But the Gemara doesn't have a problem with that. So the Gemara is actually not going to talk about that at all. He just uses that as the intro to this section by bringing those words that he can do chalitza. Chalitza is allowed. Chalitza is, right, if he wants, he can reject the wife, he doesn't have to marry her, he can take off his shoe and she can spit on the floor. You might have thought that it would be a bizayon to spit at the Kohen Gadol, but no, we see from here that you're allowed to do chalitza. She can spit on the floor in his face, depending on your interpretation of that passage. That is allowed. But the girl wants to know about why is he not doing yibum? Right, we said that he's not allowed to do yibum. Gemara wants to know why not. So that's what the Gemara is going to ask now. Ka pasik v'tane. Here, he pasik. He taught. He did, meaning he taught a rule. Here, the Mishnah taught a halacha. What? That he's not allowed to perform yibum. We know that from the rest of, right, it doesn't say that there, but from the rest of the sentence you'll see that that's what it's talking about. Loshana min ha'erusin, loshana min ha'nisuin. Therefore, because the Mishnah said it categorically, that you're not allowed to perform Yibum, it means, the Gemara is now going to pull that apart a little bit to see exactly what's going on. It must mean, because he told the law and the cloud as a rule, it must mean, it doesn't matter whether the brother's wife was at the level of Erusin or Nisuin. It doesn't matter for Yibum whether the person that died, the brother that died, whether he was married only at the level of Erusin or the level of Nisuin. Erusin, loosely, the engagement, right? And Nisuin, there at your marriage ceremony, right? In the old days, now it happens together, it's all done at once under the chuppah, but in the old days, first they did Erusin, right? And then about a year later, they actually got married under the chuppah, right? That when they did Erusin, they were, so to speak, engaged, we call it now, right? They were bonded together. And
but did they get a ketubah and a ring?
No. That's only at, only, and that's only that chuppah. Right. So, right. At the stage of Erusuin, they're now contracted. They're under contract.
So
right. They can't. Neither can break without a get. Right.
So
they're now fixed.
So they were given. She was given the ketubah.
At that point, don't think so. I think the ketubah comes only. I think. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Ketubah is just one of the ways you can get married.
When she gets it, does she not? She doesn't get the ketubah at the erusin. So if they break off at erusin, there's no payment. There's no ketubah if he divorces after erusin, because there's no ketubah. There's no shtar. There's no contract in place. There's no payment. If he breaks it off of that, erusin. Nothing happened. You just break off. She's not.
What do we say the ways of condition? Is the ways of
Biashtar, Kester.
Right? Yeah. So we do all three nowadays.
Uh-huh.
In the second half, not in the first half. We don't do
right.
That. Uh-huh. Can I just stick on the Erusin before we do anything else?
No, I thought the ring was good first.
No, you can do either one.
Then,
right?
So you can do one with red.
You can do one of them.
No, we do all of them now. Because you may as well.
And I tried to think of in the order.
First you do the ring, and then at the end they give you the ketubah, and then you go off and you're with your wife.
Like, right. It appears like in the Torah, most of the officer, they usually did kesef and bia.
Right. Yeah, you don't see the shtar.
So they gave him presents and bia, the marriage.
Yeah. Okay, so here we're learning that the rule of Yibum applies to either. If the brother got married, got engaged, but then he died before the actual reaching the chuppah, then his wife is what's the word for someone waiting for Yibam? Yavama. She's a Yavama. She's someone waiting for Yibam or Chalisa. Right? It doesn't make a difference whether we're talking about the fact that he was widowed at the stage of Erusin or widowed after the Nisuin. Okay,
so
that's...
You're saying if he was widowed, if she was widowed during the Erusin...
And they still have the din of Yibum.
That's right.
That's the question of the Gemara. That's what the Gemara is proposing at this stage.
Wow.
Right? So we see from here, because the Mishnah just made a klal, and it didn't make a mega chiluk, didn't make a difference between the two, it must be the case that both apply. But if that's true, the Gemara has now got a kasha. Bishloma min ha-nisuin. I agree, it's understandable from nisuin, from after the full marriage, right, that you would have this prohibition of yibum. Why? Have asei velot asei, because you've got an asei and a lot asei. What's an asei and what's a lot asei?
Positive and negative commandment.
Positive and a negative commandment. You've got both. What's the positive and negative commandment that would apply in the case here?
Positive would be Yibum. Negative would be not to marry a Yibum. Not to marry a
No.
Yibum.
There are two, like, I mean, no, there's a, it wasn't, the Gemara means there's a positive and a negative against Yibum.
Ah.
There would be both against Yibum. The positive commandment is the Kohen Gadol has a positive commandment only to marry a virgin. And the negative commandment is that he's not allowed to marry a widow. So in that case, she's a widow. She's a virgin. She's a widow in both cases. But in this case, she wouldn't be a virgin either after marriage. But that's what the Gemara is going to say. But in the case of Erusin, she wouldn't have the presumption, B'zat Hashem, of not being a virgin because she's not yet with her husband. She's only engaged. We're still in the case of Nisuin. So in the case of Nisuin, where you have two prohibitions, you've got a positive commandment to only marry a virgin and a negative commandment not to marry a widow. The Gemara makes the ruling, right, that we know. Ve'ein ase doche lot ase va'ase. And an ase, a positive mitzvah, does not push off a positive and a negative. What are we talking about? The mitzvah of Yibum is a positive commandment. The Torah says you should do Yibum with your brother. You've got an obligation where you can to do Yibum. And therefore, we see it's understandable that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to do Yibum. Because although the Torah says you should do Yibum, we've got, against that, we've got a positive and a negative stacking up against the do Yibum, but don't marry a widow and you have to marry a virgin. So I've got a positive and a negative on one side, and I've got this positive on the other. And that doesn't outweigh. The Gemara says there's a ruling, we know the law, that if you've got a positive commandment to do something, and you've got a positive and a negative, it doesn't push it off. Right? If you've got a positive commandment to make Kiddush on a Friday night, but you've got a negative commandment not to drink unkosher wine, so you can't say, well, I've got a positive commandment to drink and make Kiddush, and that overrides the negative commandment. Right? It doesn't work like that. However, Ela min ha'erusin amai, but in the case of where the brother was only at the level of Erusin, then what have we got? We've got a different situation. We've got a different shikul. Here we've got an assay to do Yibum. And on the other side, we've got a lot assay of not marrying a widow. And the Gemara wants to say that we know there's a rule. The rule is if you've got a positive commandment to do something and you've got a negative not to do it, the positive can override the negative.
Okay.
Right? He can. Yeah. Right? So in the case of that Kiddush, right, if you've got a positive to make Kiddush, you've got a positive command to make Kiddush and you've only got non-kosher wine, so you should make Kiddush.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Nachon?
Yeah.
Aste tocher lot aste.
That's what
the Gemara is telling us now. We're talking about the case of Yibum, the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is Yibum, is widowed from Nisuim, so he's now got an aste and a lot aste. Not to marry a widow and the positive obligation to marry a virgin. But if she's only a widow from Erusin, so she hasn't yet been with her husband, so she's still a virgin. So now he's only got against him, he's got the positive obligation to do Yibum and the negative obligation not to marry a widow. So the Gemara is saying, so he should go ahead and do Yibum. Right? So you, on the rule that a positive commandment overrides a negative. So why in this case are we told that the Kohen Gadol can't do Yibum? Does that make sense? So what does the Gemara answer? Gezeira. We're visiting Gezeira. Why? Bia Rishona Atu Bia Shnia. Right? The rabbis made a Gezeira because you're right. In theory, 100% correct. He could do Yibum. He's allowed to do Yibum. But wait, there's a problem. Bia Rishona, the first time he's with his wife, he's fulfilling the mitzvah of Yibum. Right? And that's a positive obligation. He's allowed to do it. He's doing a mitzvah. But after that, the second time and any time after that, he's no longer fulfilling the mitzvah. The mitzvah was done on the first consummation. But after that, he would be breaking, he wouldn't be doing it by doing it, he would be being with a widow, which he's not allowed to be with. And he wouldn't have the positive obligation which allows him to do it, because the positive obligation was only on the first occasion.
But
right, because the first is not for him?
Apparently that would be, apparently it seems that the first time is the yibum, that's the obligation. And after that, it's not, he doesn't have an obligation to be with her anymore after that.
But
you fulfill the mitzvah of yibum on being with her once, and then that's it. You don't have to do anything else.
But that's only if they actually have a child.
No, apparently not. Apparently, it's a stam rule. The rule is that the first time, doesn't matter what happens, whether anything results or not. The first time is the yibum, that's the mitzvah. After that, it's not the mitzvah anymore. So it's an interesting, you have to think about what exactly the yibum is here. It's not the fact, so that you can potentially cause your brother's seed to be continued. If Hashem wants your brother's seed to be continued, you can do it on the first time. So it can be, right. So it can be the first time. But interestingly, it doesn't extend. So if after the first time I'm with her, maybe you can learn out. I haven't learned the laws of Yibum. You can divorce. You can divorce the woman after that, right? I was with her once. I fulfilled my obligation. I did Yibum. Right? Nothing happened. Talk. We're done. Finished. That was the Yibum obligation. Doesn't mean I have to stay with you for the rest of the next 120 years. No.
So the woman is considered the feet for the man.
Uh-huh.
So this is why there's a part of the soul from the man, when the man passed away, in the wife's legs. Yeah. So this is why the man have to take out his shoes.
Ah.
And so then the soul cannot reach the person who died, pass away with no children, he cannot reach the highest point where all the souls come, only when you have a child, because he goes in Hashem's way, so he can elevate the souls. So this is why two have to be removed, as a brother, is together with his wife, and then to have a boy, then he can reach the man who passed away, he can reach a higher level of way, and only where the souls come. They say the part of the soul stay in his wife's leg.
In his leg?
In the wife's leg.
But who, she on takes his shoe off him then?
Yeah, but
okay.
Why did he take out the shoe first?
I went over
the
shoe.
I went on the
shoe.
Next.
Thing.
Oh.
Because
the part of
the
soul is
no,